Greetings in the Savior's most worthy name. The Apostle Paul said it this way as he addressed the Ephesian Christians. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, we are so thankful that through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, we have access into your most holy presence. As we come to you today, Father, we pray for every listener. Bless and encourage the Christians, and may all of us learn today to love you more and be more faithful in our service for your name's sake. Too, for those, Lord, hearing this broadcast today, those who are not saved, those who are without God and without Christ and without the assurance of sins forgiven, speak to them by the Holy Spirit, and may they turn to Him and in faith be born again as they trust the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose worthy name we ask it, giving our thanks. Amen. As we turn once again to our correspondence course, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, we hope that all of you who have ordered the courses will get them out, and along with your Bible, continue as we study once again from chapter 1, the difference between the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. In our study thus far, we have seen that there are constant contrasts between these groups. Specifically, we have been considering the difference between the nation of Israel, or the Jews, and the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we're not speaking of some particular denomination, but we are speaking, when we refer to the church, of that great body of redeemed souls, those who have by faith been born again, added by the Spirit of God unto His church, of which we read about in the Word of God, specifically the New Testament. Well, we have already considered the beginning of both Israel and the church. We have seen that God gave promises to Abraham, and it was in Abraham that Israel, this great nation, had its beginning. We have also traced the promises of the church. We heard the Lord Jesus Christ say upon the statements made by Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, that is the rock that Jesus Christ is the God of heaven and earth. And on the day of Pentecost, this church was born by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For we read in that latter part, portion of the second chapter, that there was added to the church daily those such as were being saved. Then we saw some contrast between the calling of Israel and the calling of His church. For example, Israel is promised blessings that relate to this world. Their blessings are for time. Their blessings are temporal. But when we come to the church which Christ loved and for which He gave Himself, according to the writings of Paul to the Ephesians, we find that their promises are heavenly. Their blessings are eternal. They are promised persecution down here. They are promised suffering, much like our Savior experienced. But friend, let me add very quickly that any suffering done in His namesake and for His glory is well worth it. The Christian life is the greatest life, the best life, the only life worth living. And yet, in contrast to Israel, who was promised earthly blessings and earthly privileges, we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. So their beginning is in contrast. Their calling is in contrast. Last week we considered the conduct and the differences between the conduct expected of Israel and that which should be practiced by the Christians, those who make up His body, His church. Israel practiced, and I might add, still practices. If you'll read your newspaper and watch for the reprisals that we see going on day by day, Israel practiced. They were taught in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But when it comes to the church, that is to those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we're taught to turn the other cheek. We're taught to pray for our enemies and to bless those that despitefully use us. We're taught to take the gospel to those who are at animosity with God and therefore with us. We are taught to forgive and to seek forgiveness. Not so with Israel. Well, let's move on. Let's consider, as we barely touched upon it last week, the difference between the worship of Israel and the worship of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are still in contrast. Israel, for example, could worship in but one place, and then at a distance from God, only approaching Him through a priest. The Church worships wherever two or three are gathered together in His worthy name, and the Church has boldness to enter into the holiest. And it is composed, this may come as news to many, but the Church is composed of a group called priests. Now then, we'll get to that in a moment, but I want to read first, as we closed last week, from Leviticus chapter 17, having to do with the worship of Israel. And I shall say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. That we read concerning the worship of Israel. Now I'd like to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 20. We referred to it a moment ago, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You see the difference? One at a distance, the other brought nigh through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Let's read again concerning Israel, this time from Luke chapter 1. Even though it's the New Testament, it relates to Israel, and we read, and the whole multitude of the people were praying, notice where, without, at the time of incense. Oh, bless God for the nearness that we can have as His children, Christians, those who have been brought nigh, even made members of His body, added to His church by God the Holy Spirit. And we have this holy access, even as we read about it in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated or set apart for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Israel, in their worship, kept at a distance. The Christian, saved by the grace of God and cleansed by His own precious blood, brought nigh, even unto that place of holiness. Once again, concerning Israel's worship, from Numbers chapter 3, we read verse 10. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Only Aaron and his descendants, members of the tribe of Levi, of the family of Aaron, only these men could serve as priests, coming into God's presence, coming in behalf of the people, offering up their sacrifices, but then only once a year. And then only the high priest could enter into the tabernacle portion known as the Holy of Holies, or the Most Holy Place. One man, once a year, and then it says he must go with blood. Oh, friend of mine, they were kept at a distance, and only the select group could approach God. But let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, and look at what He has done for those who are in Christ. Not those who have joined some organization, but those who have experienced new life through being born again, through having had every sin forgiven, as in faith they have trusted the one who died at Calvary for their sins. I'm reading from Peter's epistle, chapter 2, the first epistle, and verse 5. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The Scripture teaches us that Christians are His priesthood of today. It's not some special elect group from among the Christians, but He has made all of us true Christians, not religious people, not church members, but those who are members of His family. For as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the authority to become the sons of God, even to those that believe upon His name. Those of us who are members of His family are also called priests, the priesthood of God. Not only that, once we have been brought into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, by virtue of new birth, by virtue of new life, by virtue of saving faith placed in the Son of God, He has ordained that we are His holy priesthood. And as the priest of God, maybe you never realized you were a priest. Well, you're not unless you're saved. You're not unless you're a Christian. You're not unless you've been born again. But for those of us who are in Christ, we don't have to be members of the nation of Israel. We don't have to belong to the tribe of Levi or even to the family of Aaron. But friend of mine, we do have to belong to the family of God and be members of His body, which is His church, and His bride to be taken away soon. And He says, ye are living stones, first of all. And of course, this suggests a temple. And a temple is a place where worship is made. You're a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. Now, what's the purpose of all of this? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Of course, He's the great high priest. We're all the under-priest. We're those who are left here for the purpose of worshiping Almighty God. Now, friend of mine, let me ask you something. What do you know, really, about worship? Well, you say, I go to worship every Sunday. Do you? Many people go to church services, and they listen to preaching. Much of it good preaching. Much of it Bible preaching. But, friend of mine, I question, actually, whether or not much worship is provoked from your heart as a result of the preaching. Oh, some, indeed. But because it's called a worship service, does not necessarily mean that a lot of worship comes from it. We read in Hebrews, the last chapter, verse 15, by Him, therefore, that is through the Lord Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice, not of goats and bullocks and lambs, the sacrifice of praise to God every Sunday? No, continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Friend of mine, do you know very much about coming into His holy presence and worshiping Him in the beauty of holiness? We read from John's Gospel that He is seeking worshipers, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We read from Deuteronomy chapter 16 concerning one of the great feasts. It says, they shall not appear before the Lord empty, but every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord thy God which He hath given thee. David said, I will not give to my God that which costeth me nothing. And today our God is wanting us to come and offer Him praise and worship, the giving of thanks to His name, giving of the fruit of our lips, the overflowing of our heart, a heart that overflows. We read in the 10th chapter of Luke where Mary and Martha had a little disagreement. Martha was concerned because Mary wasn't helping with the work. But Mary was content because she was sitting at the Master's feet. She was sitting there in adoration. She was sitting there in worship. And the Lord Jesus told Martha in response to her criticism, you might say, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Friend of mine, there's a great difference in the worship of Israel and the worship which we, the church, are privileged to participate in. Do you know much about it? Worship God, says the Apostle John. We trust that you do so for His name's sake and glory. Amen.